Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Staying Aligned podcast. My name is Alexander Eisner. I am joined by my partner, a insufferable but also brilliant man, Sean Steele. And today, the two of us have the distinct pleasure and honor to welcome first-time guest on the podcast, Dr. Nicoli. Doctor, thank you so much for being here.
Well,
my pleasure.
Not only do we have a famous doctor, but he's also a world-renowned plastic surgeon. We've never had a plastic surgeon on this program. Orthopedist, neurologist, brain TBI specialist, psychologist, accident reconstruction specialist, police officers, everybody connected with personal injury. But we've engaged in some new analysis why a plastic surgeon could be extremely valuable in a PI case. And what people generally think of a plastic surgeon, that's, you know, terrible scars on the forehead that everybody can see. No, there's all sorts of issues involved in plastic surgery that enhance the value of PI cases. And so Alex's inspiration was to bring this light to a program. We'll keep this in posterity for what, about 1,000 years? It's going to be on YouTube.
It'll stay forever, ever. We are in a short form format, doctor. We do 30 straight minutes and then we cut it off so that the doctors who are watching here live can get back to their real lives. So I don't want to waste anybody's time. Let's just jump in. I want you to tell us just a little bit of background. What kind of plastic surgery do you mostly do? And talk to me a little bit about your practice, both cosmetic as well as in PI.
Yeah, well, I started about 35 years ago. When I was younger, I did a lot of reconstructive, from traumatic injuries to gunshot injuries to the face to going throughout the world, mainly South America and Central America and Mexico, doing deformed lips, which are called cleft lips and palates on children from the third world countries. And now basically today, after 30, 35 years, it evolved into a strong cosmetic practice and a PI personal injury practice. I'm board certified in plastic and reconstructive surgery, and I'm board certified in ear, nose, and throat, also called otolaryngology. So my real specialty is in the head and neck area, but although I do a lot of dog bite injuries and automobile accidents, from ruptured implants, from steering wheel injuries, to broken bones in the face, to nasal deformities, you name it, and whatever kind of injury that you can sustain that you would send to an ENT or plastic surgeon, that's what I do.
So that's a great jumping off point, because one of the first things I wanted to ask you about is the types of PI cases that you mostly work on. I think most chiropractors who are listening are, plastic surgery is not going to be their first thought. And I think we need to dispel a little bit of that, because I think, like you just finished saying, there are a lot of instances: dog bites, ruptured implants, broken bones in the face, scars, discoloration, burns that come from auto accidents or other personal injury cases, where somebody who's a plastic surgeon or an otolaryngologist can be wildly helpful. Talk to me a little bit about early, you know, the benefits of having somebody like you come in early in a PI case. I mean, what are we talking about in terms of documentation? What are we talking about in terms of, starting that process with plastics early in terms of outcomes and in terms of documentation?
Well, it the documentation comes with experience, and, you know, I've been doing them for 35 years. So the documentation for the referring practice is very important. But we as plastic surgeons, I mean, we spend, 2 years I spent in general surgery, 3 years of ENT, and then 2 years of plastic surgery. So if you're going to have an injury, you're going to want to send it to somebody that has a vast amount of experience with soft tissue injury and you know, facial injury, breast injuries. And the sooner that you get involved with that case, the better off and the better the results are. Sometimes I'll see a case that's 2 years old. Well, you know, it's a hell of a lot better to get a case that's a month old or 2 weeks old, so the wound is fresh. I can operate on it, make that patient feel better. It's kind of a sad deal. Sometimes I'll see a nasal fracture with a deformed nose. I mean, it's, and I look at it and I say, "Oh my gosh, why didn't you come in here a year ago?" And they're pushed from one doctor to another. So I think we're underutilized in the personal injury world as ENT and plastic surgery, because these patients that have deformities, whether it's a dog bite or a traumatic injury, it would be nice to fix that injury right away. Sometimes when you have injury to the eye and you get what's called a blowout fracture, where the base of the globe is fractured in the eye, and the fat falls into the maxillary sinus, and then you have an enophthalmos or a deformed eye. Well, the best time to correct that is within 2 or 3 days, not 2 or 3 months or 6 months. So time is of the essence in a lot of these cases, and that's why you send these cases out as quickly as possible. And a lot of people don't realize that plastic surgeons, there are two specialties that do hand surgery, for instance, and those are hand plastic surgeons and orthopedic surgeons. So they both have a vast amount of experience with hands. I personally don't do hands, but one of my partners in our group, because we have a multi-specialty group where we have ortho, neuro, et cetera, and hand surgery is very, significant, along with pain management. But, again, my specialty is mainly the head and neck, and then body injuries with dog bites or traumatic injuries. But again, the sooner you get those cases into the office, the better the result. And then plus that poor patient doesn't have to walk around in society with a not a so appealing or an ugly looking scar or a crooked nose or a deflated breast implant.
Right.
So I personally think time is of the essence in a lot of these cases.
Talk to me about scars. I know that I mean it, some of the if you got a deformed eye or a blown out eye socket, I mean some of those are maybe the more obvious instances, and I agree with you that it's underutilized, but still maybe a little bit more of the obvious times when somebody would need a plastic surgeon. But a lot of the glass causes scarring. And then anytime any of my clients get surgery, any kind of back surgery or shoulder, knee, it leaves sometimes pretty remarkable scarring. And then some people are prone to keloiding.
Yeah.
Talk to me about scars. What's the importance
Well,
of documenting that early, with good pictures and good lighting and measurements and those sorts of things? And then what kinds of things can you do for that?
it's always the more documentation you can do, that's better off for that patient's case. I mean, as time goes, it's very traumatic when you have a major car injury, from glass to a laceration, a dog bite. You want to take a lot of great pictures right at the beginning to show what suffering that poor patient had to go through. But then once they sewn up, sometimes they're sewn up in emergency room, sometimes they're sewn up by just a GP. So it's very important for that patient to be followed up by a plastic surgeon so he can give his best skills and possibly give Kenalog injections or 5-FU, which is an anti-chemotherapeutic agent that helps decrease scarring. And sometimes you even have to go and get X-ray treatment to decrease keloid formation. Keloids are a terrible, terrible thing on especially Mediterranean blacks. They can form the scar that's worse than the initial injury. So I think going to a professional and making sure that he gives you the best treatment to try to eliminate or decrease the probability of some of these ugly scars, especially on the face. I can just last week I did a case that you can't even see. A patient got second and third degree burns in her pubic area and her vagina, and we had to do reconstruction on the labia minora because every time she wore Levi's or every time she walked, it was extremely painful, because burn injuries are extremely painful. So the sooner you get a patient to a professional, whether that's a back injury, a neck injury, or a pain management, or whatever it needs, get them initially. They're going to go to a chiropractor, and then that chiropractor can farm them out to the appropriate physician that needs to be seen. And again, my specialty again is plastic surgery. So don't hesitate to call or ask me questions, or ask your if you're in another state, ask your plastic surgeon or your ENT, or what should I do? Get some help from these people. They're more than willing. I get calls weekly. What should I do with this patient? What should I do with this nose fracture? What should I do with this burn injury that the patient can't wear underwear because the pain is so severe? So I think timing is of the essence to make sure your patient is being treated appropriately
Now,
and not
Alex,
to
let me.
suffer through.
Let me follow up with a question.
Go for it.
What
Doc, now, let me.
I got cut off. I apologize. What
That's no, that's
are you
fine.
saying?
I have had plastic surgeons, good, God-fearing, hardworking plastic surgeons, say, Sean, I see the scar. It's a fresh cut. We saw it a couple of weeks ago. The accident was a couple of weeks ago, but I don't want to see him until 6 months post-accident, so the scar matures, so I know what I can do to help the patient because it's too early now. Now that sort of set my approach.
I totally disagree with that, because you want to start injecting some steroids and 5-FU and different modalities early on. You don't you, Once the keloid's formed, it's too late. Then the surgeon's going to have to cut it out and start all over again. So if
Wow.
I can see a scar early, there's a possibility that I can treat that scar without requiring more surgery. So I disagree with that philosophy,
Oh,
whoever.
I love a straightforward answer. That actually changes my worldview quite a bit. Wow. Two other things I want to mention, Alex. One is the pictures. Do you take the pictures in the clinic yourself of the
I
scar?
take myself or my nurses will take pictures of everything the day I see them. But again, sometimes it's unfortunate because I see a patient, 2 or 3 months, sometimes even a year post-op. Well, hell, when they already created a keloid, there's not much choice. You have to redo it, recut it out. But if I see a scar early enough, there's a possibility that I can improve that scar tremendously with Kenalog, 5-FU, radiation, X-ray treatment. So there's a lot of modalities that we can incorporate prior to having to do a secondary surgery.
Alex teaches at Loyola Law School, so he's a smart guy. And if you're not certain, all you got to do is ask him. But that's my little subtle joke there. But explain to me in layman's terms, what is a keloid specifically? Is that the
Okay,
maturation?
I'm going to make it real simple. You can make it complex. When you make a cut, you sew it up and you get a scar, it's acceptable. You can put a little bleaching agent, human bleaching agent, not bleach from your laundry, and that scar, the majority of the time, if it was closed by a plastic surgeon, looks pretty darn good. Now, there's scars that are elevated and very red, and that's called a hypertrophic scar. Hypertrophic. And they can respond extremely well to injections and different modalities without surgery. And then there's the keloid scar. A keloid is a scar that goes beyond the confines of the injury. For instance, if there's a cut on your face, and then that scar goes beyond that cut that starts to fall in the range of a keloid. And you can see that in a lot of, especially Afro-Americans, when they put earrings in their ear, and then all of a sudden they get a big ball on the lobule. That's a severe keloid, and those have to be cut out. They have to be injected, or from an injury, and then injected, and then sometimes getting X-ray treatment. So there's always solutions to those three kinds of scars. So there's the regular scar that can take minimal treatment. There's the hypertrophic scar, which also can utilize oftentimes conservative treatment. And then there's the keloid, which usually requires surgery.
This is a great seminar. Alex, a couple of more. This is too good. It's really, I wished we had you a while ago, maybe 30 years ago, but none. Time's of the essence.
Never too late. Never
Well,
too
then he
late.
would have been just a baby surgeon. He only would have had 5 years of experience.
Alex would have been a diaper.
Doc, talk to me about the psychological component to this, because I think when sometimes when people think about plastics, and I'm not saying chiropractors necessarily fall into this, but maybe more lay people think about plastics, they think about nose jobs and boob jobs. I think that maybe the people don't think about the psychological ramifications of visible injuries. And I think that you, more than most people, have a really good idea of the toll that can take, having a visible injury on your face, or if you're wearing a bathing suit and it's visible on your legs or your arms. Talk to me about that.
Extreme. I've been seeing that for the last 35 years. I mean, people, and everybody, there are a lot of people that are extremely vain, and then there's this big brutal brute of a truck driver that comes in that doesn't care. He's got tattoos all over him. He's got a scar, and he tells all his buddies he had a fight with five guys. And then you get this beautiful model that's just perfect skin, perfect color, just beautiful. And then she's got a big scar on her face, or on her arm or something. So it's extremely emotional and traumatic to that person. So it's just like birthmarks. It's like cleft lip or palate. When you have a deformity that sticks out, especially like a broken nose, I mean, everybody can see that. When you're walking in a room, what's the first thing they see is that crooked nose you have, or that scar. For instance, the lady that I mentioned, a couple of minutes ago, that had a severe coffee burn to the groin and the vagina, and she couldn't have sex with her husband. It was so painful. Well, that affects their marriage. So there's so many aspects that you have to look at, not only the visual, but the relationship with somebody. And if you have a deformity of a chest or a face, and their husband is, looking at him and say, "Oh my gosh, I can't, I can't."
We got a little interference here, doctor.
Caught on any individual. So I think you have to treat every person as an individual, whether you got the truck driver that loves the scar, to the beautiful little model or handsome guy that's ready to get married and has a traumatic injury and an ugly scar. So each individual has to be treated individually, and listen. You have to, as a physician, you have to listen and listen. But unfortunately, like you say, most chiropractors or other GPs don't really.
I, doctor, we lost you again.
Lot more than that. I mean,
Alex,
are you, can you hear me?
yeah, it cut you kind of come in and come out.
Well, I unfortunately, that my darn phone, I don't know how to turn it off, and I've gotten two incoming calls, so I erased them. But I'm saying, whether it's a boyfriend, a spouse, or kids in school. I mean, I've seen kids that have broken noses and they're real crooked and they get bullied in school. Well, you don't want that to happen. That traumatizes their brain for the next, 10 years.
Now,
So you want.
two things I want to run into quickly because we're running out of time. I've forced truck drivers and bikers to see a plastic surgeon because they do like the scars. They think it's manly. I just want to get a report from a professional and tell me what it costs to revise it. They may never get it revised
Yes,
because they
I
kind of like it, but I said that's part of your personal injury dilemma. But there's another new area that came up with we've known this for a long time, but there is a lot of our clients and severe catastrophic accidents have surgery that they didn't want, they didn't expect. There's always going to be a scar left 99% of the time.
you're exactly right.
And I think that is certainly invites a plastic surgery consult. And you're suggesting right away, post-surgery, as soon as practical, and there may be something you can do for that patient. It may not be
Absolutely.
necessary, but I do want your opinion.
Well, I think, the patient comes in into the morning and gets in his car and feels great about himself, and then all of a sudden gets a traumatic injury, whether it's a scar, whether it's a broken nose, a broken whatever. They didn't deserve that. So I think they need to be compensated for that injury. So I will give a good report on what that cost was going to be to do that reconstructive procedure. Now, whether they do it or not, that's their decision and their attorney's decision. But
Well,
I can tell them what it would cost to fix what the deformity is that they didn't have. And then at least they can get compensated for something that they didn't have prior to this injury.
for example, I just had a good friend that had an emergency appendectomy. They're always emergencies.
Right.
So he's got three scars, belly button, and then two other incisions. It's not terribly visible. It was terribly painful, but not terribly visible. But even something that appears to be, let's say, tiny, is still something that I think should be seen by plastic surgery because that goes to the heart of the issue. What kind of pain and suffering and permanency do these injuries leave the patient? And maybe a guy doesn't really care so much that he's got scars on his abdomen. But a lot of people might, and I think it's objective criteria. A lot of times we have people in intense pain, psychological pain, musculoskeletal pain, it's not visible. And the golden trophy in PI cases is find something objective and real and visible that you can see. And I also want to point out something too. You'd be surprised how few plastic surgeons take pictures and share it with the attorney. Oh my
Yeah.
God, is that a surprise? I've sent patients to a professional photographer that I would pay for close in their neighborhood just to get a bloody good picture. And I'm just shocked that so many plastic surgeons don't even think of, because that's, we're talking
Yeah.
about show and tell, for goodness sakes.
I'm a picture nut. Even in my cosmetic practice, if I do a case and they come in 5 times post-operatively, I'll take a picture. My staff knows to take a picture of every patient at every time they come into the office. And it's unfortunate that I get to see some of these patients that are post-injury a month or 2 or 3 or even 6 months. And sometimes they don't have enough pictures to justify the injury. That's why I always ask a patient when they come in, did you take any pictures? And if you did, let my staff have them so I can keep them in your records. And then I take photos also. I'm a photo nut, and I've learned that 100 years ago from medical legal cases. Photos, photos, photos. They're worth their weight in gold.
I just think that a lot of times the trope is that, oh, only people who are vain or who are models are going to care about the, scarring. But I don't think that's right. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that it's something they would care about until they have this big scar on them. Even if it's, the back of their neck or their knee or something. And it's like, they see it every day, every time they change clothes or every time they take a shower, every time they wear a bathing
Yeah.
suit, they see it. And it does have an emotional impact on not just models. I think
Yeah.
normal, regular people are affected by these things when they see them. And I think that it's sort of one of those hidden injuries that doesn't get enough press. It doesn't get enough play. And it really takes somebody like you and maybe a forward-thinking chiropractor to make that smart referral, to say, hey, you know what? You just had surgery. You're going to have a scar on the back of your neck or on your knee or your shoulder. I think you should see a plastic surgeon. You don't have to do anything, you don't have to get injections or any kind of anything, but you should have them look at it just to see, because that scar is going to be there for the rest of your life.
You're 100% right. I can't disagree with anything you said. So
You and my
and
wife, you both just agree with everything I say.
so it's it, and it's and again, like you say, it's that patient came out, opened came to that day and expected to go to work and have a great day, and all of a sudden they're traumatized. Well, whether they decide to do that scar revision or not, a lot of them do, but if they don't, they should at least get compensated for the injury that was sustained. So again, about 50% of patients with minor injuries don't want anything done, but at least I document it and let them know. And if they want to come back next year or the following year, or if it continues to bother them, come back and I can always do it. So I think documentation is the key to a lot of these cases.
Now, I want to make we only got a couple of minutes left, literally. And what I want to point out is that we do a this is for our YouTube listeners and our other social media. We do a newsletter twice a month, and Alex and I edit called the PI Email Alert. And so, of course, it's free. It's original. We get good content that deals with for personal injury for chiropractors in California. This is what it looks like.
Right.
And oh boy, look at that.
Nice.
Yeah, that kind of.
Yeah.
So it's multiple pages, good articles. And so the way to find out is that you contact us by email. Alex has got it somewhere on the screen. He'll share it with you at some point in time. This opens up an area that doctors, when you see a scar, even though if you think it's kind of minor, or and the patient's not too concerned about it, it will add value. I don't know how much, but look, minimum of 5-10% value in a PI case, and that could make the difference of you getting paid 100% or 80%.
Yes.
More value you put on a PI case, and the lawyers don't typically do it. Lawyers almost never have a plastic surgery analysis after a surgery. They just said, "Hey, we got a big surgery here, got a big case. That's great." But if you want to cover the tracks and do a really good job, you're going to go and have the plastic surgery kind of wrap that entire case up with the final residual, and that's the evidence of the surgery. And that we do need revisions. What I didn't realize, and I'll show you how ignorant I am, I didn't realize that the sooner the better on scars.
Yeah.
And I
Yes.
can't believe I listened to that nice doctor a long time ago say, "Hey, we don't want to see it till 6 months post-op, till the scar is mature." You
Yeah.
know,
Yeah.
you don't like mature scars, do you, doctor?
No, hell no. Because if it's on a regular scar, yes, that's fine. We can wait. But I think that should be sent to a plastic surgeon and let him determine whether it's a normal scar, because oftentimes they're going to be a hypertrophic scar or a keloid that you want to address real early. Because once a keloid forms, you're not getting rid of that. You have to cut it out and start all over again.
Doctor, thank you so much for being with us. Tell the people listening how they can get a hold of you specifically. Obviously, we want them to refer to plastic surgeons more often in their area. But if they want to refer to you, you've got a couple of offices. Where? How could they get a hold of you?
Yeah, my main office is in Newport Beach, California, and I'm Dr. Michael Niccoli, Niccoli. I'm the chief of plastic surgery at my cosmetic care. You can go online and look me up, and I'd be more than happy to help you or give you some advice on cases. Sometimes I never see the case. I just, give the attorney advice. Yesterday I had an attorney call me and referred a patient to me, and I just told him that, this isn't a great case for you. I'm not sure it's worth taking it all the way to trial, but I could improve it. So you need that that ability to be able to talk to a plastic surgeon and get some advice, because I mean that's what he went to school for. It's no different than a chiropractor. You guys go to school for a long time to become experts in your field. Well, that's what I did. So, as an attorney, you're not going to know all the ins and outs of scars and broken noses and ruptured implants and burn injuries to the crotch or whatever. So if you don't feel comfortable, call your plastic surgeon. And I'm in Newport Beach. We've got a couple of surgeons there. We'd be more than happy to help you out.
Public service announcement by Dr. Nicoli. I'm going to shamelessly plug our next podcast. It's going to be next month, July 23rd. We've got Dr. Cliff Tao, who is a chiropractor and a DACBAR. He's a chiropractic radiologist. He's going to be on talking about that. He's always a great guest. Dr. Nicoli, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to do this. I really, really sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you
And
for
we're
your
glad we got you in the car before you went off to places that we couldn't have reached you. So thanks for making this work out.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Anytime, call me anytime. Thank you for your professionalism.
And anytime you need to get a hold of me or Alex, try Sean Steele at SeanSteele.com. The newer people will try Sean Steele at SteeleEisner.com. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds right to me.
Okay, that sounds good. We're easy to reach. We get back.
Oh yeah, I've known of your professionalism and seen you on lectures. You're both quality guys. So thank you for having me on your show.
Nice
All
of you
right.
to say that. Talk to you soon. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.